You're listening to Live from Rye, ecological and local chit-chat from a rock sticking out of the Romney Marshes, with your hosts, Timberlina and Justina. Absolutely agony to cycle on, actually. Because I have a hard seat.
Oh, I've got a really posh ladies' saddle. I bought it in Italy. It's not, it's Italian. I bought it for €25, but worth every penny. I cannot tell you. It's changed my cycling. Oh, you need padded shorts.
Padded shorts. I mean, padded shorts and a padded seat.
Yeah, well, that's what I do if I'm going on a long cycle until I get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi, Justina. How are you doing today?
I'm all over the place. How about you? Are you also all over the place?
Yeah, emotionally all over the place. I'm like a sort of, I don't know, I just had an image in my mind. I'm sort of like the waves in the sea. No, that sounds ridiculous. But I mean, this is the problem. I just feel like I'm a soft, washy, kind of passionate and too emotional and not hardcore. Can't seem to make my mind up about one particular thing to focus on. And then it just becomes this kind of sort of cotton wool fug of,
you are speaking for me. You're speaking for me. That's exactly what I would have said in maybe a different way, but more or less. I was going to say, did you see the meteor shower last night?
Oh, was there?
No, I didn't either. I'm looking for somebody that saw it because it was a clear night. Yes, they said between 6 and 11 p.m. clear night, which we had. Did you see the moon?
No.
Moon was very, very bright. It was beautiful. Not full.
I was too busy drowning my sorrows in a box set of Modern Family.
Not a box set of that wine stuff, you know.
No.
Anyway, yes, well, I did look, but yes, I was a bit drowning myself. I did look up
I didn't know anything about that because we had that one at the end of August, which happens. Know.
Well, they pop up, don't they?
Every
Just when
year.
You think you've seen them all, there's another one.
Mm. And then it rained.
And then it rained, It did. Yeah. Made a lot of noise, yes.
So what are we going to do about this wishy-washy emotional thing?
Well, we've just had a very nice piece of apple, cinnamon and sultana cake.
That was very nice.
Made by Trish.
Made by Trish, thanks,
who's
Trish.
Who's an excellent cake maker and jam and chutney maker.
Does she do the jams as well?
She does. Well, there's Trish and then there's Mrs. Stapley.
Now, who's the one that does the, I can't remember what it's called. What did I have?
Apricot and ginger.
No.
And ginger. I ordered 6 jars last Christmas from Mrs. Stapley because I gave all my
See, I think
kids
maybe that's what I'm
a jar
do this
for
year.
Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I
And
be the
then I had
for
2 for
year.
Myself because I'm a piggy.
You're like
piggy.
Me.
But
one
then,
for everybody else and 2 for me. Yeah.
But then, do you know what I did? Most of that 2 probably went into curries or my famous
samosas,
but which I then gave them. So, you know, they probably had
about one and a half each, probably,
in the end.
Did I have? I was drawn by the name of the berry, which I didn't know. And it's not, it's a cross between a gooseberry and a gooseberry and a blackcurrant.
Oh, it's not loganberry.
Something like a snoozeberry or something.
Is it? Oh.
It's not called a snoozeberry. I'm making that up.
A snooze.
But the other one is a cloudberry, but she didn't have that. But I read about cloudberries in a short story, because obviously I'm reading a lot of short stories at the moment.
Are you? Why is that obviously? Because I didn't know.
Oh, well, you know.
I'm reading a long story at the moment, yes.
Okay. But no, they had this amazing... Anyway, it's beautiful jams. This is... We're talking about the farmer's market on Friday mornings at Rye Community Centre, which starts at... Well, it starts at 10, but you have to get there for 2:15. Really.
2:15. Avoid the elbows being jabbed
elbows
in the ribs, you need to go at 9:30.
Would you get there at 9?
Well, I sit there and I kind of do
front,
my admin.
Yeah,
I do my
you
admin.
Can do a lot of admin.
I've had some bad experiences with elbows.
Right.
And then you arrive at Trish's lovely stall.
Yes.
And it looks like the locusts have been.
Yes.
There's like one bag of potatoes.
And Sandra will be there doing a knitting.
She will, that's a good
She's
place
off,
to do your
often
knitting.
Very, I know, it's a, well, it's quite a nice moment of contemplation, isn't it?
Well,
it's sort of like the calm before the storm, isn't it? It's almost like sort of sitting there waiting before the charge at the front line, the charge of the light brigade.
Yes, you're right there. You're right there. But also, I find it a great source of... there's lots of local matters sorted out in
lots
that queue.
Lots of local matters are sorted out.
And also, last time was about the new traffic rule regulations.
Oh, the parking. Oh,
parking
God,
regulations that are coming into being. And personally, I just think it's going to generate more revenue for certain people and make
less
it more
others.
And more difficult for anybody that lives. I think, you know what I
before
think
we
just,
before
do?
We go into the parking, yeah. I just want to say, on the market itself.
Yes.
Now, previously, as you went in through the door, you would get your ticket that you would then take with
yes.
you that was stamped and
yes.
written on.
Yes.
And now he yes. distributes, what's his name?
Phil.
Phil gives out the tickets. It's an amazing piece of streamlining engineering, I feel.
I think it's good because, you know, you have human contact,
you have
don't
human
you? You
contact.
Say, oh, morning, Phil. Oh, thank you. Are you well? Yes, good.
Exactly.
Oh,
well, you see, Placati doesn't have the, there's less aggression, there's no
pull it
preempting.
From that thing off the wall
no.
that says number 60 and,
well, we
and
never
they're
that,
only on
but
number
no, you
two.
Would do that at Butchers, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd
like
do
that.
It in lots of places, but anyway.
Supermarchés in France, I remember.
Are we?
Anyway.
Why?
So, but yes, it's a very good way of diffusing the elbows, although the elbows still do happen, especially.
I'm afraid they do, and you get the odd, as we said before, the odd person that doesn't know about it and
oh,
just
I know,
walks,
exactly.
thinks you can just walk in.
Walk in, how
hello.
Dare you!
No, we're all been
get
sitting
the,
here,
exactly.
hello,
thank
sorting out
for
local
asking.
Political matters.
And then there's that really awkward moment where you get in and there might be a spare chair that's unoccupied
yeah,
near
but
the
actually,
front.
I know.
And do you go and sit in there what, or do you?
Is it Bill and Ted? No, Bill and...
Bill and Ted's excellent event. Oh my God, Alan and Bill.
Alan
and
Bill, well,
adventures.
Alan, I think it is, always arrives early and he puts his basket on the seat for Bill.
That's
but
correct.
Sometimes people don't know
and they come
that's
and try
for
and sit
Bill
down.
And they go and say, is that
I
your
bet
basket?
He gives
and,
them a furious
oh,
look,
yes.
doesn't he? Yes, he does.
Oh,
it
yes.
looks could kill.
Oh, yes.
He'd be a useful, he'd be a very useful weapon.
He would,
anyway,
he
anyway.
Would, yeah.
You so could. Parking.
Oh yes, parking. Well, just that I had a good idea, but I'm sure it would never be taken up because good ideas never are taken up.
Yeah.
Is that every single resident of Rye is if they don't have their own parking space,
yeah.
which lots of people do, or a particular specific place they can park, they get a permit.
Yeah.
And everyone else that pays.
Everyone else pays, yeah.
And you have to prove with two documents, like your council tax bill and blah, 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 that you are a permanent resident and not just a weekender or something.
Makes perfect sense.
And I think
Justina.
That's the way to go because I might have to give my car up.
Ooh.
And although I don't use it much, I know you say that.
Well,
but,
you know, because as far as I'm concerned, it's one more person for a car share scheme. That's
well, I'm
think.
Already on a car share scheme.
What, here?
Yes.
Ooh, what's that about?
Well, it's about going to gigs and practices and things that
with other
are usually
people. Oh,
with
you mean
other
you're getting
people.
Lifts and stuff?
Getting lifts.
Right.
And there's often a car full now, so that's very
that's
good.
Great.
That's less cars on the road, driving, that is. But for me personally, I don't use my car much, probably four times a week, maybe. And I don't go very far in it either. But for me, it's independence.
Yeah.
And a certain degree of independence. Mm. So, but I could see it might have to go at some point.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's
there
fine.
Are, there are, and there are ways around it.
There used to be once a very cheesy song, and I don't know... And it used to be sung by a man and a lady in very
right.
cheesy voices. In fact, saying cheesy probably be good for a cheese advert.
Okay.
And commercial on TV, you
yes.
know. And the main line in the song went,
yeah.
went got along without you before I met you, gonna get along without you
no.
now.
I remember that song.
Isn't that the most 70s. Cheesy song ever?
Yeah, but it was in that beautiful time in the 70s before, you know...
I don't remember a beautiful time
not?
In the 70s.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that moment in the late 70s when, you know, you drive around and say, I don't know, like a Morris Ital. And, yeah, you know, everything was... Europe was still exotic. Maybe you'd go on a driving
oh,
holiday.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you'd still drive down to Cornwall or
oh, yes,
Norfolk,
yes, I did drive to Cornwall a few times, yes.
You know, smoke Hamlet cigars and...
Well, no, I didn't do
drink
that.
Drink Martini but... Rossos in the evening.
Maybe.
In the
sometimes.
Evening.
I don't know which part of the world you were living in Essex. At that time.
I was living in Essex. Anyway. I was living in Essex where you'd look out for those big, what are those big grassy things called? Pampas grass.
Pampas grass, yes.
Because if you had a pampas grass outside your house, then...
Every front garden had one.
Well, they were swingers, though, weren't they?
Well, I think that was to let you know they were swingers.
That was to let you know that they were swingers.
Swingers, yes. Or car keys in the bowl.
And so when I see a pampas grass these days, I do get a little bit nostalgic.
That's very interesting because my neighbours have got a humongous one.
Are they swingers?
On their plot. Well, now you mention it.
Wow. Well, there you go. Next time you've got a free evening and you don't know what else to do, maybe pop round.
I don't get free evenings with nothing else to do.
No, of course you don't. Because if, you know, exactly. I'm too anxious.
I might be
always something to think about. Last time you mentioned elastic bands, and to this day I've been obsessed with finding elastic bands. And you know what I keep doing is sweeping them up off the floor and then putting them in the bin and forgetting. And then I go, I need the elastic band.
Oh,
you just don't find them like you used to, do you?
No, you don't actually. No. And I think of all now, I have a nice jar of elastic bands because I go like this. I go.
You do find them.
And I think what that means. For quite a long period of my life, I must have just thrown them in the bin.
Yeah.
Where did all my elastic bands go? I can remember going and buying them from the stationery shop.
In little bags?
Yes.
I mean, God forbid you do that now, obviously, because if you lost an elastic band now, you could kill a baby bird or something, couldn't you?
Well, I know, there is that as well. And they are wonderful for multi-use.
Well, you know, exactly. If you need to seal a bag shut rather than using another receptacle, you just want to have a little elastic band to wrap around it.
Absolutely.
I don't have them to hand. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up for no particular reason. What I did want to ask you was, how were you affected by the spring tide last week?
I wasn't affected, but it was opposite my house and they actually closed the gates and all these bikers came down to see the floods and they couldn't get into the gate. And there were benches and tables bobbing about and bins bobbing about. And there was someone had one of those blow up raft things with an outboard motor. And it looked as though it was higher than I was. It wasn't actually, but because...
It was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
It was. A very, very...
For those of you unfamiliar with the local geography of Rye, just along by the river where it comes up, what's it called? What's that bit of road called?
Winchelsea Road.
Well, yeah, the other side of Winchelsea Road. There's a little bit... Strand Quay is the word I'm looking for. And just along Strand Quay, there is a car park. And at the weekends, the motorcyclists like to come down and parade their motorbikes.
They do.
Which I quite enjoy because I'm a secret motorbike fan. And it's just a nice thing. And then on this particular week, last week, they had to close up the gates. They have these floodgates, don't they? Literally, they are floodgates. Mm. And they closed the floodgates. And a little bit of me thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's because somebody's written a nifty letter complaining about the noise that the motorcyclists made. Oh no, I thought, oh no. But then I realised that it was spring tide.
Yeah.
Which, what does it come? Is it? It's not once a quarter, is it? Is it?
Well, it's spring and autumn, and it does move, But they spoke about these surges.
Right.
It's like a microscopic tsunami, I suppose, and it's like a wave that keeps on coming.
Ooh.
And
you could see, wave. Wow.
Yeah,
it was
you
incredible.
Could see
it was
in the river.
Really
I watched
quite
it because
extraordinary.
I stood at the bridge and I looked, you know, where it goes round the bend down there. And I could see the water coming. I thought, oh, look, it's coming. Yes. So very unusual, but
And you didn't, but you were fine. Obviously, you were fine.
I didn't run no. and climb the nearest tree.
Does it bother you? No. Does it bother you that with every 4 inches every year that it goes up, it's 4 inches until it might come over the edge and get
you out? That's the least of my worries, really. Fine, I think.
Good. That's the correct answer.
Good. I've got something for a change.
Is there anything else going on this week that you wanted to?
What, locally? Mm. Well, I was going to speak about this ship, this fishing ship.
Oh, right, yes,
ship,
tell us about the
which
fishing
is
boat.
The second largest in the world, called
Good
the
heavens.
Magiris. And it's been spotted several times, located in the English Channel.
Heavens.
And it can stay at the stay at sea for months and months and months and months, 7 or 8, 9 months kind of thing.
Wow.
And, well, it filled me with horror, really.
Where's it from?
It's from Lithuania.
Oh.
Tasmania bought it. Lithuania built it.
Right.
And Tasmania bought it and renamed it.
Okay.
I don't know who it is. I don't know who owns it, but it's been banned from Australian fishing waters.
So how come we're learning it in the channel?
Well, this is the thing, and
I did ask quite a few people.
No, it's been sort of stationary and moving about and stationary. Actually, I'm going to the fish shop tomorrow.
Right.
I will ask if they know anything about it and see what they say.
Wow.
And has there been a dearth of fish this week?
So is it giant one that you can see from the shore and it looks like a small island?
It's pretty big, yeah. It's pretty big. I don't know. I didn't see it. I've seen the shipping waters watch photograph of it.
Oh, wow.
Where they've been following it, tracking it, you know.
Right, so at least they've got their eye on it then.
Well, yes, but I mean, they're obviously allowed, because otherwise there'd be war at sea, wouldn't they? Get out of here. You're not allowed here.
Well, I don't understand how any of that works, really.
No.
I mean, I know that apparently we have, you know, there's a sea that belongs to you. So all of the coastline belongs to the Queen, first of all.
Yes.
All the beaches belong to the Queen. So then we have the national waters.
Mm.
Go out to a certain point. Is it 6 miles?
That's right.
Maybe that varies. And then it's international waters. So presumably it's in international waters. And I guess then...
I don't know. I would imagine France would be up in arms, wouldn't you, my dear?
I would have thought so. Well, I look forward to an update on that from you next time.
Well, yeah, especially I was concerned because David Attenborough talking about the... last week, talking about the... how vital the life of the seabed along the Sussex coast
is
to the ecological situation at the moment.
But you see, I can't think about that because I'm still too busy thinking about the fact that we've 50% of our natural habitat, wildlife is disappearing before our very eyes.
That's too upsetting.
But anyway, apparently that's not enough evidence to convince a lot of the people who appear to be on social media from... you know, being very critical of people like XR. Oh, sorry, what am I saying?
Well,
nose ring crusties. Nose ring crusties, like all of my friends who've gone up, who have, you know, have very respectable jobs. Thank you very much. And I think Shauna maybe has a piercing, but the rest of us don't have pierced noses, no.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Who said that? Yeah, that's right.
Who
someone
do you think?
Did.
Have
oh,
a
it
guess.
Was him,
Go on,
yeah.
Guess.
Whole blondie.
Yeah.
Yes. If I could relate that, or a couple of those things,
Dude,
to something I read last week about a little town called Osceola in Michigan, which is very fruitful in terms of water, streams, rivers. For a number of years, Nestle have been paying $200 a year to draw the water, which they then bottle. They draw 350,000 gallons a day.
Wow.
For $200 a year. This town, there's only 2,000 people in this town. They actually got together and sued Nestle. Nestle sued them.
Countersued.
Yeah, and countersued. And it's a bit like the other one. The Bayer, Monsanto. Mm,
yeah.
And now Nestle are taking the town to court again. There are no words.
No, this is
there
I
are
mean,
no
it takes
words.
Us back to how we're feeling. I don't know how to articulate my fury and frustration. I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with it. Because, I mean, I'm finding it difficult to say anything now. Because I don't really know where to start.
It's such a vast topic, and there's so many
topics,
so many issues involved, and aspects to it.
And I think the thing that I find a little bit frustrating, which is maybe reflects on me in terms of I just need to sort of manage that frustration, is the adage that you shouldn't worry about what is beyond your control.
Well, that yes, that's very difficult. Though.
But for
that,
me, it's really difficult.
It sounds like
absolutely.
Complete common sense, but...
Of course it does.
My goodness, how
I just can't
do
that.
That.
I know, exactly. I've got to shut my brain out. Turn my brain off or turn it to a different frequency.
There was a
where
song...
Where I'm just thinking about nice things.
No, that's not right.
But I can't,
that's
no.
Not right.
No,
and we're
exactly.
not robots, are we?
Well, apparently not.
No.
But, you know, I think a lot of people are.
Well, yeah. I think yeah,
it's just yeah. I think you know I think the thing that I keep thinking about is as sort of concerning as it is I'd quite like to unlearn certain things that I know in order to that would maybe placate me, but then again I feel like well then you live in I think ignorance is a tricky word to use these days because I think it can be really taken in a really patronising way, and I think I don't want to be in any way patronising, and I don't want to also blame ignorance because people keep talking about this systematic change, which is necessary, and it's a big, it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in that, and of course, then yeah, exactly. And then you know, it's
there's two things though. Can I just interject here?
Yeah, please do, because obviously
you're
lost
saying
there,
ignoring, which as we've
ignoring,
said before
that's
means
a good way of looking at
ignorance is to ignore.
Yes, that's correct.
So it's not saying you're stupid.
Yes.
Or you don't know. I'm thinking maybe you mean naivety, which again people think is means you're dim, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, naivety. It's a kind of unknowing, not knowing, isn't it?
It is. And I also, what is it, cognitive dissonance? That's something that people use now. It's one of those little buzz phrases, which
yes.
is when there's a complete separation between the issue at hand and the way in which we live our day-to-day lives. But I also think that we in this, what we like to call Western civilization, have created a lifestyle which is all about, you know, the focus is on a priority, which is the system of consumption, and it's a system of having a family, and it's a system of having a job, and it's a system of aspiration, and it's a system of creating this a mythical idea that freedom is about opportunities and having opportunities everywhere. And what is completely missing from that is the fact that these opportunities are very financially or fiscally dependent. So these opportunities only manifest themselves if you can create the wealth in various different ways to achieve that. And it's not my, I've been saying this for a while, it's just not my default to think on that level.
No.
My default, I've been trying to sort of playing around with this idea of, playing around with the idea of trying to re-articulate the proverb or the biblical proverb, it's not biblical proverb, what's it called? The Good Samaritan. Is it biblical
yes,
proverb?
Yes.
What are they called?
No, it's a
not a proverb.
Proverb
is a
no,
Greek
it's,
and things
it's,
like that. What are they called? It's a test, not a testament.
Oh,
but anyway, you know, the Good Samaritan. It's
yes,
like Myth to Live By. It's one of those
stories yes,
about how
yes,
to be good. And
yeah.
In the Good Samaritan story.
Parable,
thank you, parable. In
That's
the Good
an
Samaritan,
interesting word.
You've got the Levite who has been beaten up. I think he's a Levite. So anyway, so there's somebody of one faith. He's been beaten up. He's been left for dead on the street. He's unconscious. And then I think, is it another Levite comes past and he crosses the road to avoid him. And then
That's
another
right, yeah.
person, and then another somebody of another faith comes past and he crosses the road to avoid him. And then the Samaritan, who is a person of another faith, comes past and he picks him up and he takes him to
yeah.
the inn, and he even leaves a few shekels for the innkeeper to
yeah.
look after him so that he can, you know, and can get some oil and vinegar to clean his wounds and make him feel better.
Oil and vinegar?
Yeah, because at the time that's what
oh, that's right.
Dress
yes,
the
they did too. Yes, they did.
And the funny thing about this story is in that whole story, we don't necessarily know anything about who the victim is in terms of their character and who they are as a person. You just it's about saying you should love your neighbour, you mustn't judge a book by the cover.
Yes, yes.
You must just help somebody who's in trouble. And then the other things, the other aspects of this parable which also make it interesting, which is the different faiths of the people who walk past, and I think forgive me, I'm forgetting what they are, but you know, for example, say the Levites, you weren't allowed in your faith to touch somebody who looked dead because that was wrong, deemed wrong. So, you know, in some ways, there's a sort of rationalised way of why I couldn't touch the victim in this story. So I think about this a lot recently, just simply because I just don't understand how so much of the force of what appears to be wrong seems to me to come from these people who have these beliefs which stem from often these parables, which are about having no judgment on the people that you are with, but also to engage in, you know, sort of compassion and nurturing. Mm. And yet, where is that?
Good question. Very good question.
It's a rhetorical question, really. I didn't need you to necessarily answer that. Although, if you could...
It is such a good question,
in approximately
though,
3 minutes, I would love that.
Well, I was about to launch about a programme I heard on Radio 4 the other day that briefly just said, historically, peoples of different religions have not always been at each other's necks.
No, this is done
by the press, particularly now, since there's been newspapers and reporters, because it's not simply not true that they didn't. They used to live side by side harmoniously, keep themselves to themselves, but be perfectly friendly and neighbourly and so on.
And I think you can still witness that oddly. I mean, in Jerusalem, I mean, Mr. Timberlina has been to Jerusalem and he said it's amazing. And you go and there's on the streets, there's a Jewish celebration where they go out and they're drinking, and then the Muslims are doing something else, and then the Coptics are doing something else, and then you know, and then there's the other people who feel that it's their divine wisdom to walk around with a crucifix on their shoulders, and it's all happening, and everyone's just getting on with it, and it's which is an amazing thing.
Well, that's a wonderful way of living because it's non-judgmental, and presumably, if one lived that way, the idea that the person that was in need in front of you was of another, was separate from you in some way, in any way, creed, religion, race, anything, wouldn't be there, would it? And that is the way to live, really, isn't it?
Yes, and I don't know, but just bringing it back to what's happening in XR and people's kind of excuses against it and being sort of, you know, how it's terrible that these people are putting themselves in the way of trying to get from A to B, and I was walking down the street trying to get to a hospital with so-and-so and I couldn't make it, and thank you, XR, it took us longer than we should have done. It's like, well, it's unfortunate that that is a situation, but you have to understand the bigger context is that if we actually have a world that is uninhabitable, then a lot of people aren't going to be able to go to hospitals because the hospitals won't actually be there in the first place. So, you know what I mean? It's that
you and me both know that.
But yes, I know, but I think a lot of people don't. And again,
it.
I think that this...
They don't know. They haven't
moved and I think that
into that area yet.
But that's the element of naivety or ignorance, which... I find difficult to sort of say because, again, we've got a system that perpetuates that minuscule selfishness, that minuscule moment of like, it's just me, babes, and I'm the most important person in this because that's the way I have to think about it. And if you're going to get in my way, then that's not acceptable. And I'm, you know, you're kind of getting in the way of my right to...
There's a lot of that in being entitled and entitled to behave this way, that way, the other way. But there's also the other aspect I have mentioned before, which is about compromise.
Yeah.
And every single one of us needs to start compromising in some way, to save the planet, which sounds very dramatic, but that's the fact,
exactly.
I'm afraid
it
of
is.
It.
It absolutely.
And if you're not willing to compromise, then
I think we should finish on a let's condense that crazy disparatous complicated poly-sided angles and frustration into one little nucleus, which is, get ready for this, hold on to your handbags, it's environmentally friendly fire lighters.
Oh, I've got
those.
There
you go.
Yes.
How's that for her? What's that word called?
I've now got 5...
Slightly hypocritical.
X Hellman's mayonnaise jars.
Right.
Large size. Full.
Glass ones.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Full. I've got 5 now.
Dried.
Of dried tea bags, which I have wetted with a little drop of paraffin. And with the lid on, they make the most magnificent tea bag. Fire lighter.
Hang on a
just
minute.
One.
Where's the lid?
Well, you keep the lid of the jar, yeah. And then you dry the tea bags till completely dry.
In the jar.
No. Lay them out, which I had them in the garden on a table in the sun. And then I bring them in, lay them on a radiator. That's right, yes. And then fill your large jar. And as I say, I was using large size Hellmann's mayonnaise jars. And when the jar is full, then you pour not much, probably maybe 3 egg cupfuls of paraffin, about that amount, and swoosh it round.
In the jar,
and put the lid on. And then I've got 4 or 5 in my shed now.
Does it not get damp again, though, inside
the jar?
No, but
the jar's tight, and the dampness is, paraffin is not like water.
It just evaporates very quickly,
yes. So
I see. So that sort of dries it out.
Then you have a jar sort of tucked around the corner, away from the fire, obviously. But just pop one onto your nicely laid selection of twigs.
Great. And so you've foraged.
I've definitely
in a
foraged.
Neutral way,
totally.
And you've got your carbon neutral logs.
I have got my carbon. Have I? Yes, I've got my logs. Yeah. Anyway, and bits and bobs and
Is this a wood burner?
Well, I've got a wood burner and a fireplace, but I've just had a few very, very cosy fires in the fireplace this week.
I'm very excited about getting the chimney swept.
Oh, yes. Have you called Darren?
Darren! He's the man, isn't he?
Oh, Darren is the most lovely, lovely, lovely person ever.
Everybody loves Darren. I mean, obviously, other chimney sweeps are available in the greater Rye area.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Darren, it has to be said, is particularly... I love the fact that he does it by text as well.
Yes, he's lovely. And he always toots and waves when he sees
you. So
you
can do a whole, multitask. Yes. Texting Darren, gets right back to you. Come at the date, I'm free. Yes. Boom, boom, boom.
And actually, he'll book you in. I found a little card this morning, actually, that says, and I thought, it's Darren's card. What's the date? But it's actually, I think, the 5th of August, 2020.
Is that when your next
appointment.
One is due?
Yes.
Right, I see. I should have done it earlier.
So he
in the
said,
year,
"He said I'll send you a text about a couple of weeks before."
And
then.
Did he?
No, this is for next year.
Oh, for next year. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, he left it to me, and I kept dithering, and then
I think he even gave me a certificate or something on a red sheet of paper because he's certified chimney sweep.
He is. He's
great. Did
he's an ex-fireman, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
He's an ex-fireman, and he had some. Lung damage, so he couldn't be a fireman anymore.
Oh.
So what's he doing? He's still doing firework, isn't he? Yeah.
And on that tragic
making
note,
things safe.
Making things safe for the public.
Yes.
Gorgeous. That's it.
Yes, no, he's very poorly.